Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture.
In book four of the Nicomachean Ethics, after a pretty lengthy discussion of the specific virtues and vices, and what makes them so, what their motives are, how they work, Aristotle comes at last to discuss something that isn't quite a virtue, but is connected with virtue, and that is what we're translating here as shame or modesty. The Greek term for this is actually eidos, and this was felt to be quite important within Greek culture. I'm sure that somebody will probably bring up in the comments, so I'm going to preempt that right now, that ancient cultures were shame cultures and modern cultures are guilt cultures. The reality of that is that it's much more complicated and that a good part of what we nowadays call guilt is actually what we're translating here as shame. So it's helpful to put that distinction when it's made too rigidly aside and to think about what Aristotle is actually saying here. He suggests that shame can be understood as a kind of fear. He doesn't follow this up, but he's suggesting that it's a kind of fear felt about one's social image and also about one's self-image. The word that he uses there, it's a fear of one's doxa, the opinion that people have, or one's glory, one's reputation, being in some way damaged. And like I said, this is not just felt in relation to other people, but also one can feel this in relation to oneself as well. Perhaps by incorporating the viewpoints of other people or imagining what they would say. Why is this not a virtuous disposition to feel this? Aristotle suggests first that, well, look, it's only an emotion, so it's not really a virtue. That said, you could probably say, well, what about courage, which has to do with confidence and fear, or temperance, which has to do with epithumia, or desire for things, or the good temper, which has to do exactly with anger. Why not an emotion? The deeper reason is this. There's something fundamentally non-virtuous, not necessarily vicious, but non-virtuous about feeling shame. And we should mention at this point that although Aristotle doesn't call this out as such, it's clear from the kinds of examples that he uses throughout his works that we can feel shame in two sorts of occasions. One is when we've actually screwed up. We've done something dumb or wrong or counterproductive or socially disapproved, and we feel ashamed because of that, right? The other is when we imagine ourselves in that sort of situation, or we are considering doing something and we hold back from it. The Greeks would say that it's your eidos, your sense of shame, that holds you back from doing things like that. For example, in our culture, it's considered rather rude to belch at a table, right? Or to pick one's nose, or to, I don't know, you pick all sorts of other things, take a bath in front of other people who you don't know. We talk in about people not doing that, not because they don't want to, but because they would feel embarrassed if they were to do that sort of thing. Now I'm thinking of all sorts of other funny examples of that. But you can think of examples on your own. Now, Aristotle says, here's why it's not a virtuous emotion. You don't feel it if you're actually virtuous. This is why he's got this discussion distinguishing between the young and the mature. He says it's only appropriate to young people. As a matter of fact, it's a good thing for a young person to have a sense of shame. Why? Because he says they live by passion. That is, their rationality is not fully developed. They're not really following, the guidelines that they have, except when it's become habitual. Most of the time, they're driven by their desires and their emotions. And you know what it was like to be young, right? So they do a lot of dumb stuff. They make mistakes. And if you're like me and you think back to your adolescence, your teen years and your 20s, you probably have a whole host of examples that you could bring up things that you actually do feel a bit ashamed about, or things that you almost did that you're really glad you didn't because some sort of sense of shame held you back. So like I put here, feeling this feeling, either if you screwed up, gets you back on track, right? You break somebody's fence down, you not only fix the fence, you actually apologize to them and you exhibit a sense of shame in apologizing. It also can keep you on track, so that's quite important. Aristotle says that for mature people, feeling shame is actually a sign of something going wrong. It's a sign of lacking virtue. This doesn't mean that they're necessarily vicious or even uncontrolled, acratic. It could be that they are the self-controlled person who still wants to do things that they know are not good for them or good for other people, who wants to do actions that would be base, that would be ignoble, right? That would be shameful. So if you're feeling shame, it's a sign of a lack of virtue. What about virtuous people? Well, you know, Aristotle says, and this is being a little bit optimistic at this point, because remember, virtue does not automatically guarantee moral success. Just guarantees that it's probably going to be that way because there's a habitual disposition, but the virtuous person can still screw up. He says the virtuous person feels shame only by hypothesis. They say to themselves, well, yeah, if I were to do the sort of things that those people over there do, I would, in fact, feel ashamed at doing those. I'm not doing those things motivated by a sense of shame. I'm not doing them because they conflict with actually doing the right thing over here that I want to do because I'm virtuous. You know, that's what it means to be virtuous. But if I was to do that thing, I would feel bad about it. And I would, you know, rightly feel bad about it. So that's by hypothesis, as he's saying. It's an if-then. It can be imagined, but it's not an active temptation, let alone a reality that they have to face. Aristotle does say that we are dealing with something that is a mean condition when we're talking about shame. You can feel too much of it. So let's say you're not virtuous, and you're constantly worried about embarrassing yourself. You're bashful as a result. You don't open your mouth up because you're afraid that what you say is going to be wrong and people are going to laugh at you. Aristotle would say, well, that's a problem. It's not quite a vice, but it is an excess, right? Likewise, one that he's much more concerned about, shamelessness, literally in the Greek, anaiskonunta, that's a defect. The person who lacks a sense of shame, if they're not virtuous, will do all sorts of things. They will get into all sorts of trouble. Nothing will hold them back. They won't care about their reputation or what other people think of them. They probably won't care about how they look at themselves in the mirror the next day. They're just going to do what they're going to do. Now, you know, is there a difference then between the virtuous person who doesn't feel shame and this other person? Yeah, because this other person does shameful things, right? They are not a virtuous person. So being virtuous would preclude the defect of shamelessness. Remember, too, that shamelessness is among those things that Aristotle says are by their very nature bad and there can be no appropriate mean to. There isn't a mean. There's no right amount of shamelessness, right? There is a right amount of shame. There is no right amount of shamelessness. That's at one extreme. So this is why shame is a very important moral phenomenon, but it's not quite a virtue. So it's been sometimes called a quasi-virtue. I would just prefer the term non-virtue. It is, however, connected, as we can see, with virtue and with a good life.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.